Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me and waking me up this morning and giving me traveling grace as I had to travel on this highway this morning. It is not fun, but I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it looks like. So today, again, like I said, first giving honor to God, I want to thank you for joining me. Today's topic, again, is one of those controversial topics where individuals kind of question, you know, what do you mean by that? I never thought about that. Or that's a doggone good question. So today's topic is committed Christian. When it comes to your commitment with God, where do you stand as a Christian? Now, again, this is not to disrespect any other religion. However, is your commitment to your higher power as it relates to your relationship, is it strong or is it weak? Is your commitment stronger to your church and its members or to your pastor? Or are you just basically trying to please man? Many individuals struggle with not doing what they should be doing as it relates to their relationship with their higher power. So let's talk about this, because when we talk about a relationship and we're talking about being a Christian, what does that really mean? So let me log on my first caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Number ending in 67.
Well, good morning.
You have a different area code today. Thank you. I appreciate you. I was about ready to send you a text message.
I'm quite sure you were.
I sure was, because I was waiting on a different area code. Okay, so tell the listeners who you are, and then we can get started with this show.
I'm Dr. Delano Blackwell. I'm a friend of Jeanette's, former senior pastor of the Mount Salem Bible Church of Oxnard, California. Jeanette, you have an awesome question today, but I have one question for you.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You have three forms of commitment in the church. You have people who are committed to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the church, I mean the church building.
Mm-hmm.
You have another form of committed people who are committed to the work of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You have another group of people who are committed to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another group of people who are committed to God.
Gotcha.
This is an awesome question. But the problem is, sometimes commitment is directed in the wrong area.
Mm. I like
you
that.
You got people who are committed to man. You got people who are committed to the building, and you got people who are committed to their dream. My mama, my daddy built his church. And my problem with it is you are only charged to be committed to God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that we serve a jealous God, that we should have no other God before him. Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody who got a higher power. I only know the Bible, so forgive me, I'm dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But the commitment has to be, when we talk about church, it has to be to your God. It cannot be to everything else. Because if you're committing to everything else, when problems and perplexities and troubles and trials come, whatever you committed to will go through the window. You'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose focus. You won't think about your commitment. You'll let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered, and I knew that was going to turn you, that was going to flip the switch in the back of your mind, because we have some misguided commitment.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Blackwell? That's the reason for this topic, is because a lot of times we do have a misfocus, and when you're talking about the different types of forms. So let me log on the next caller, because I know she's waiting. Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Good.
Lady T, did you like what he said? Because I like that. I like those three forms. He said the three forms, and I'm going to repeat it. He said the church, the work of the church, the pastor, and then God, and commitment is directed in the wrong direction. And you know what? And that's why when we're talking about this uncommitted Christian and even what a committed Christian is, because, you know, Tammy and I was talking about that this morning, Pastor Blackwell, and a lot of times we want to be good stewards, or we talk about stewardship, and, you know, you got people volunteering for a lot of different things, thinking that that's their commitment. And when we talk about man or the church, or, you know, are we overdoing it? That's something where we run into a lot of problems. I got the phone blowing up. Tammy, anything you want to say in regards to this? Because I'm going to log on the next caller before we keep going. Because I want Blackwell to go into depth of this and give some examples.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. What he said was right. Commitment could be misguided, because me being the wife of a pastor, it was the commitment. If the commitment had been to God, then we wouldn't be in the position we were in with being a part. The commitment was to him. The women, the men, all committed to him and was like, forget you. You don't mean nothing. And their commitment was not to God. So it caused a big rift in the church, caused a lot of people to leave, caused me to leave, caused, you know, it just caused a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and
like
you know
he
what,
said, people's commitment is misguided. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, your commitment has to be to God. If you're claiming you have relationship with God and you're claiming to be this elder, this missionary, this minister, or whatever you're claiming to be, but your commitment is to man and not to God, then, I don't know, you're being taught wrong, or you just, you know, following your own, however, you just following your own will. You're not doing the will of God.
Okay, let me log on this next caller and see what this person want to add to this topic. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio, number ended in 06. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good morning, Michelle. Okay, Pastor Blackwell, help us out here. Because when we talk about these three forms of commitment, and when you want to do right and you want to, you know, God to be like, well done, my good and faithful servant, do you think this is something that's being taught in the church when we talk about these different types of commitment? When individuals first come in, they on fire, they want to do this, they want to do that, then they start falling off. Pastor, what can we do to help individuals know the difference between, first of all, have a better understanding of what it is to be committed, and try to gain some understanding of why individuals sometimes fall off or become uncommitted?
Well, what I'm discovering, it has to do with you and your relationship to Christ. And you got to remember, when you're working in the church, your commitment is to Christ because you are working for the King.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us sometimes forget that we're working for the King because we want the King's glory.
Mm.
That a preach right there. That's a sermon all by itself. Mm-hmm. We want the King's glory. We want the King's glory, so we do things to get the glory, to hear our name called, so we can get the starry crown, and we can get top billing. But I've learned committed Christians don't care whose name is called. Committed Christians just want to see the job get done.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a committed Christian to the work of the ministry, you just want to see it get done. And what happens, mm-hmm. Jeanette, what happens, back to what you were saying, what happens is they start out on fire. Later on, they hit a bump in the road. One of the major key words that happens to them is they lose their focus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's always sin. People like to say, well, it's sin. It's not always sin. But they just mm-hmm. lose their focus. Watch this. Here's a great point. Great point. Peter's walking on the water. Peter tells Jesus, Jesus, bid me to come out on the water and walk with you. Jesus is right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's eyes is on Jesus. But as soon as the wind blew and Peter lost focus on Jesus and took his eyes off the water, the Bible says he began to sink.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that happens in our life. When we take our eyes off the focus of Christ in it, we begin to sink.
Mm-hmm.
We lose focus.
Because we make it about us. Mm-hmm. We make it about us.
Now, and that's what I'm saying. So when we lose focus, guess what? The commitment goes, because guess what? Here come the kids. Here come work. Here come everything else. Well, we used to put that. I'll give you a great example. Lord, if you just bless me with the car, Lord bless you with that car. Girl, you've been going to church every Sunday. Every Sunday you've been mm-hmm. in the car, going to church. But 3 months later, now that you find out you can go to the beach, you miss one Sunday. Oh, I ain't gonna bother you to miss one Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You look up, you miss two Sundays. You look up, you didn't miss the month. Girl, what's happening with you in the choir? Oh, I don't sing on that Sunday. I sing on this Sunday. Now you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts evolving. And you start changing. You
mm-hmm.
know? And what happens is the things you used to do, you just eventually pull out of them because you figure you can handle life. I don't know why
mm-hmm.
we do that. We let our focus go because we don't see the need where we should do it and have to do it anymore.
Correct. Correct.
I don't know why we lose our commitment.
Correct. And you know what, Pastor Blackwell, and it's like in any other type of relationship, and we do the same thing when we're in a marriage, when we're in with friends, when we're at work, because it's basically understanding relationships. Many individuals have a misconception of it. Now, Michelle, I got you on mute because you had a lot of background noise. So I'm going to take you off mute because I don't know if you have any questions, but I know when I did your number, it kind of stopped noise.
Look,
okay.
I'm going to go turn the fan off right now. Hold on.
Okay, so it sounds better now. Tammy, do you have any questions when we're talking about this topic? Because you've been in church practically all your life, so have I. I've kind of been in and out. But even though I was in and out even as a child and a teenager and then a young adult, you know, it was work and it was different things. What are some of the reasons that you may see that individuals may have, first of all, like I said, because we got to understand what it's like to be committed and then become uncommitted. But what are some of the examples that you want to share when we talk about committed versus uncommitted?
Well, being committed, it, like you said, I've been in church my whole life. But in the beginning, I was committed to church and the things I did to church, but I wasn't committed to God because I still left church and did my own thing, you know, had fun, hung out. But I would go sing in the choir, do what I had, teach the kids, do what I had to do, then go and do, you know, have fun. But then that changed. And when all of that changed and I got saved and delivered for real, then my priority was to God. It changed. So my priority changed. So my commitment changed. My commitment was to God. And then when I committed to Him, then everything else fell into place. So because I was committed to Him, I then became committed to all my duties in the church. But they were better. I was more well-rounded. And so that was the difference. So we have to, there has to be a change. Some people, like the pastor was saying, they come and they're just committed to the duties in the church. They're not committed to God. Because when you're committed to God, you don't treat people the way you treat them. You don't be nasty. You don't be rude. You don't do all that stuff. You come in with a mind like Christ, ready to serve Him. And then you can decipher the word. You can know if somebody's steering you wrong or right. Because, you know, because I have that relationship with God, I knew that, you know, when my husband wasn't doing right, I knew that, okay, I'm not in agreement with this. Because my commitment to God was more important than my commitment to being my husband teaching wrong. And,
you know, I have information, and it talks about the problem with America is that it's uncommitted Christian population. It says, need proof? The only struggle American Christians have is trying to decide how many worship services they can skip, how long they can ignore scripture, and still call themselves disciples. Far and few between are those who wrestle with the serious moral and ethical issues, and fewer are those whose lives are actually, truly, authentically informed by their faith. Now, American Christians by large are simply just not committed to their faith, and they live like it. Now, I'm finding that very interesting because living leading by example.
I have a question. So, if you're committed to Christ, like, because I want to understand it a little bit more. Do you like follow like Jesus? Like I know I talk to Him a lot, and I'm trying. You got to be like nice to everybody and stuff like that, or I mean, what exactly do you
well,
mean by
me,
being committed?
Tell me, see something before about you know you don't be nasty or you don't. You know, when we talk about being Christ-minded, being Christ-like in regards to how committed are we? Delaina, Pastor, can you answer her question to help her gain a better understanding?
Well, being Christ-like is being kind and gentle to one another, loving one another, understanding how to be accepting to one another's needs and abilities. You don't treat each other bad or belittle each other. You treat each other kind with love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what, Pastor Paul gives examples of commitment because, you know, because sometimes we've learned that sometimes church folks can be some of the meanest folks. You know, we claim we love Christ, but then yet we don't like our mamas or our grandparents or, you know, sister so-and-so sitting next to us. And we put off this image and this aura, and it makes other people become confused in regards to if I'm watching this person treat this person like that, are they family members? How are they following Christ? And no one is to judge. But they give the example of Paul and also the commitment to discipleship. Because a lot of times, if we talk about discipleship, and Jesus taught men to count the cost of discipleship. Pastor, can you explain what that means in regards to commitment to discipleship also? And, I mean, I'm going to mute you again, Michelle, because I think that background, I don't know why is your phone echoing, but Blackwell, can you explain what that means, commitment to discipleship?
Yeah. And when you start talking about discipleship, when he says count the cost, that means you got to, before you get ready to get in this race, before you accept the bid to be a disciple, you got to understand that it has a price.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the easiest thing to do. You got to accept that there's going to be some good, but there's going to be some bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some up, but there's going to be some down. There's
mm-hmm.
going to be some in, but there's going to be plenty of outs.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity has its good as well as bad. And
mm-hmm.
the problem with some people, we don't understand it, nor do we accept it. But Paul says to be a disciple is to accept the fact and understand the good with the bad and understand
mm-hmm.
the end without. That's putting it basic. Because
mm-hmm.
discipleship is nothing but learning how to win souls.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a bad thing, but you got to accept the fact there's a cost. Matter of fact, just to give you a book I read, it's called The Cost of Discipleship. It's out of print. It's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote. He says, when God calls a man, he calls a man to come be himself and die. Let me tell you what Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was back in the day when the Germans had came upon, I can't think of the city, but they came upon them, and they were holding church in parts of the country, Jeanette, where the Germans found it illegal for Christians to be, so they were killing Christians, burning
mm-hmm.
their Bible. Bonhoeffer was at a place where they were sent to have a secret church worship.
Mm-hmm.
And they going in, he went in, and the guy said, what are you here for? And Bonhoeffer told him, and he says, get this wall. And they pull the guns out on him and shoot him. He said, what are you here for? He said, I'm here to have church. He said, okay, put the guns down. We just want to know you were one of us willing to die.
Mm-hmm.
Just
wow.
have church, because they were committed to the call. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying. Bonhoeffer says in his book, in The Cost of Discipleship, you got to be willing to die.
Yep. Yeah, that is true. You know, Pastor Blackwell, it's interesting you saying this in regards to, because we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. And a lot of times that makes people be like, you know, Pastor, are you ride or die? You know, we have songs entitled, I'm Sold Out. We got all these things. These different authors, and not only authors, but songwriters have said in regards to their sacrifice, and that's their level of commitment. But I think it was last Saturday, before I went and did the book signing, I had this conversation with this lady, and she'd been through some things, and she told me that God and the devil was the same person. And I said, how you figure? And she felt that because all the bad things, when the bad things are happening, that the devil is doing it and that's still God. But when God is doing the good things, then that's God. So I took some time out to try to help her gain a better understanding. But it seems that a lot of individuals are confused and they're given a lot of misinformation, because not only would people, but churches suffer also from lack of commitment. Pastor, can you help us with that in regards to even not only just the individual, but the church as a whole?
The church has one major problem. We suffer from a lack of knowledge. You can't do no better. Lord have mercy. If you don't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know no better, if you don't know no better, let me say that in reverse. You won't do no better. So guess what? If you don't know your role, your position, or if you don't even know what it takes for you to be focused, for you to take go through what it's going to take for you to go through it, guess what? You will have a problem. You do have mm-hmm. certain Christians who believe, who do believe that Satan has a certain amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
You do have some Christians. You do have some Christians. And it's funny. It's funny. And I'm going to say this. What's my girl? Lady T.
Lady T.
Tammy, I know the people in the Church of God Christ always say this. They say this all the time. Y'all heard this all the time. Stop on the devil's head. Now watch what I'm going to say to you. You can't find that nowhere in the Bible. The Bible tells you to flee. Run.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from it. He don't tell you to stand on and fight with him. He tell you to flee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me now. But we talk
yes,
about stomp on the devil's head.
The devil and the devil be flee. We'll flee. Because you won't be fighting with the devil.
Man, we said we want to stomp on his head. I ain't trying to stomp on his head. Jesus did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My job is not to even come in contact with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let y'all figure that out on the way home.
Wow.
I don't want to have nothing to do with him. Because I know he has more power than me.
Uh-huh. You know what, Pastor?
And I was sitting there saying,
No,
and I was sitting there saying this for a reason because, you know, you got people within the confines of the church and their commitments. They don't understand who they are, what they possess, what they're about, and the focus of a commitment that we got to have. To please God.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me say that again. The focus that you got to have to please God. I be listening to Lady T and I be wanting to tell Lady T, you just don't know how much I hear you. And I be wanting to tell her so bad, her story was once my story on focus with people. But I'm praying God. I can tell you, baby, if I can get through it, you can be blessed to get through it too. Have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have mercy. What a mighty God we serve.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, I think with Lady T, and part of the dilemma becomes when a person is unwavering and going back and forth by saying, I'm committed to you, and are you serving man or are you serving God? Are you doing it for the purpose to build the kingdom and destroy your home? Because I was listening to a rapper say, either you are basically trying to, and I said it, I was going to write it down, Tammy, and didn't do it. But he said either you are for us or you are against us, meaning you're going to build the kingdom or you're going to destroy the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an idea. And I don't have a problem seeing it. My last marriage was 17 years. I told my wife our marriage ought to be in this order. It's just like a heavyweight fighter. You are my corner person. Now catch where I'm going with this, Jeanette, Lady T. You are my corner person. It's your job to make sure when I sit down on the stool, you give me some water, you rub my shoulders, and you get me ready to go back and do what? Fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job to keep me in the corner, calm, cool, and collected, so I can go back out and fight.
Mm-hmm.
If you do your job, and watch where I'm going with this, you're going to catch this. If you do your job in the corner, I can do my job in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
God Almighty.
Yeah.
But when you ain't got no corner person, baby, Woo! You ain't got no fight. The fight ain't going to be long. Somebody going to be getting up off the mat. Yeah. Ain't going to be no fight. Ain't going to be no fight, baby. It's going to be one of the Tyson fights. 1 minute and 3 seconds. Supposed to go 10 rounds. We ain't going to go no round.
I tell people all the time, I don't know if I would want to be a pastor's wife and all that, because that's a whole nother issue within itself, whole nother issue that people are being a pastor
really,
or being a pastor's wife or either being in leadership.
Really, it's not. Really, it's not. Really, it's not.
I'm a pastor's wife, and my husband, he chose to walk out on his family. He's committed to preaching and church, but he's not committed to his family. So therefore, I was like, how are you committed to God?
He's
your
not.
Priority.
Let's just call it what it is. He's not. I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to talk like this openly, but he's not. Now, the reason why I'm going to say this is because the man who does not take care of his home, the Bible calls him an infidel.
Right.
So you're not.
But the people in church are being misled. But what I'm saying is, when you have people that want to take your place, because I know I did my part. I did what I was supposed to do. The only thing he had to do was go up in there and preach. But I think where he messed up was he realized my commitment really is to God. And a lot of the people realize that my commitment is really to God, because they'll try to get close to you and try to find out where you really are. When they found out that, no, I'm not about this, doing the wrong thing. I'm committed to God. And then they all turned against me along with him. So I'm like, okay, cool. But you know what? God got me. God has, you know, he has protected me. He has covered me. He has been taking care of me. And like I said, where you stepped out, God stepped in.
That's deep.
It ain't like he wasn't going to do it.
He was my husband. He was everything, because I didn't ask to be where I was. God put me there for a reason, because he knew my heart. He knew that I could handle it. I can handle all of that.
Can I get to something?
Mm-hmm.
Before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, on my part, one of the major primary problems, Jeanette, within the church that I have a problem with is we got too many people committed to the building, not to the
building. Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Baby, we've been doing this way, and at this church we do things this way. They committed to the building and what they've been doing for 400 years, and we're not committed to building a ministry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're not committed to building lives.
Right.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I am concerned overly. Let me give you guys something terrible. I know y'all going to trip on me. Can I tell you the most terrible thing we are facing now? We are facing the loss, the parent loss. I was talking to a friend of mine. Jeanette, I'm going to turn you on to it, that there are over four generations. Just Tammy, you're going to catch it. Jeanette, I hope you pick up on it, but Tammy's going to catch it. Can you imagine when the last time you heard every church having Sunday school, Bible studies, ET, catch where I'm going now, BT. BTU, watch this, Vacation Bible School.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know we are about to lose 4 to 5 generations because they don't know the Bible, because we had people in front of them who were not committed to the ministry.
But you know what, Pastor Blackwell? That's where the cost of lack of commitment comes. Because that lack of commitment, which we witness among the churches, is costly to the Lord's work, not so much in a financial way. But we pay, and that's what you're talking about. The worship services will be lifeless. Uncommitted people have no enthusiasm in their worship. The songs, the prayers, the sermons. Let me finish this and I'll let you go on with that. The uncommitted people are lifeless and rituals easily detected by visitors. So people are picking up on that. The church will have poor attendance. Okay, let me finish. The difference in attendance between Sunday morning and other services during the week will be distinct and growing greater. And the church will have few conversions, whereas the earlier churches baptized people regularly. A church filled with Christians who place the Lord's work low on their list of priorities will convert few people, and the children of the Christians will be lost in Christ, and the church dies. Now, what you got to say, Pastor Blackwell? Because you see, I thought
here's what I'm saying. Now, you are late. You should have read that maybe 2 years ago. You're late. Why am I saying it to you like that? Because we already there.
Yeah, we're already there.
Now watch this. But guess who we there with? The millennials. They don't care nothing about church. This millennial group, they don't care a thing about church and who in church and their commitment, Lord have mercy on their souls, is to them.
Well, I know. I know where I was. We conformed, and the people conformed to the world to reach these millennials. I was like, no way. The church was the world. It turned into me, it felt like a cult because it was everything he said they did, they fought. I was like, what about God? What about the word of God? You know? And I couldn't get with it. I was like, no way. I'm not in agreement because I know what the word's saying. Then when you start changing the word to fit what you're doing, no, you're not. And then when nothing in the word applies to you, when you're doing it, no, that's not what that means. No, that's not what that means. That don't apply to me. No, that's not what that means. Because the scripture you just said, I brought up, if you're not taking care of your own house, you shouldn't be preaching in the house of God. No, that's not what that means. That don't apply to me. I said, oh, okay.
Well, it don't apply to you if you're the fastest church. You're right. It don't apply to you. If you're the fastest church, no, it don't apply to you. Especially if you're not going to take a good look at you. No, you're right. It don't apply to me.
Right.
And you better not ever tell me again that in my house. If you want to see me. No.
Wow.
You want to hear the truth?
But,
no.
then that becomes where you have, sometimes people try to pretend that they are God and they can take on that spirit and that role and they go about it the wrong way. And that kind of leads to, we talk about the uncommitment can also be sometimes the reasons for Christian burnout, because a lot of times people get burnt out, turned out, they show out, and it becomes a mess. And the number one thing is the distraction. People become easily distracted.
I've been in church 53 years. I'm a church baby. I don't know nothing else but church. All I know is church. I don't know nothing else but church. You wake up, you wake me up in my sleep, I can do church. I just know church. But I know I got a real relationship, too. That's the difference. I know who I'm committed to. And I know what I'm committed to. Now, I'm committed to 66 books. I trust on every word out of the 66 books because I know in the framework of those 66 books is the livelihood of my life. Because every promise behind them 66 books, I know I can live. So I don't have to worry about that. If I live according to them 66 books, can I tell you what he said he'd do to that? And I just think he'd be committed to it.
Because you know what? And that's going to take me where I was going to go. When you say you committed,
he said he'd take care of
you.
See, he said he'd take care of me. I just need to commit to the book. I don't need to commit to the church. I don't need to commit to the people. I need to commit to his book. And once I commit to his book, when I watch it, this is how I feel about it. If I commit to his book, I'll commit to him. If I commit to him, I'll commit to his people. If I commit to his people, I'll commit to doing the work for his people. See that? But guess what?
And
I can't do it the other way.
Correct. And it all falls into place when we talk about a commitment, because any commitment takes work. And you got to learn how to develop that type of relationship. And like I said, it's like a marriage or any other type of relationship. We talk about being married to the church. You know, because like I said, sometimes people get burnt out, so they may have no prayer life. They can have little or no Bible study. Sometimes they feel they're not getting the results that they want. They don't feel anything, because being a Christian can sometimes become very emotional. And some people don't like the rules. They get stuck in routine, no actions. They're unbelief and angry with other Christians who aren't what they say they are. Is one of the reasons why some of them become
my God,
but
my God,
my
God.
When that happens, now, that shouldn't be your commitment to God. Pastor, you want to speak on that a little bit?
Let me just say something. That used to be the most frustrating thing for me as a pastor, is to see a member of your church who you know and what the little boy left on the limb, and they think they all that. And you have to pull them to the side and tell them, baby, but you ain't all that. Matter of fact, you fake it. And I've had to do that. You fake it. You ain't all that. Now stop all that. And one of the biggest issues that I tell everybody, all of us, done had, will have had a problem with sin. Ain't none of sin free. To tell that lie to somebody else. Because the Bible says all have H-A-D. Sin.
Yeah.
So at some point in your life, you had a problem with some sin. Now you got a chance every day to get it right. But don't stand up in front of me and say, I ain't got no sin problem. I'm going to call you a liar. All
That's
of
right.
us have problems with some sin. Down here.
And God hates a liar.
Nobody perfect. Ain't nobody perfect.
Nope.
Nobody perfect.
Nope. And God hates a liar.
Let me see if Michelle have any questions. Michelle, do you have any questions for us? Because I know I had you on mute. But you have any questions?
No, I'm just kind of listening and getting dinner ready. No, I'm good. I'm good at just listening.
Okay. You know, Pastor Blackwell, I like that, because sometimes when we may see somebody doing something and we want to approach it and address it, that shouldn't stop our change our attitude about our personal relationship with God. But we do that. We'll say, well, they're not doing this, and they're not, so I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to go to church. And it shouldn't even be about that. It really shouldn't. And a lot of times individuals say, well, I'm just too busy, and I would love to go, but I got so much I got to do. And that's a whole nother issue, because busyness is no excuse for being uncommitted. Pastor Blackwell, what do you have to say about that?
Maybe that's just an excuse, that's all. It's just an excuse. You know, if you don't like your commitment, most people, if you don't like doing something, I just tell people, look, I ain't coming. Ain't no need to be lying. And that's my statement. They're going to be lying to you, baby. I ain't coming. I'm going on going with it. I ain't got time for that. And see, I've learned over the years. You know, I've been in ministry long enough. I've been in ministry over 32 years. I ain't got to look you in the face. And lie to you. I just tell you straight up, baby. I ain't coming. They don't even be lying to you. I ain't coming. No. I'm tired.
Now,
I ain't committed to that.
Those of you, if anyone have any questions out there, and you have questions for either Tammy, myself, or Pastor Blackwell, give us a call at 516-387-1914. We would love to hear your questions and what you have to say. I've been trying to check my phone to see if anyone has said anything either on Facebook or, I don't know, check the other stuff, but or either just send me a text. But I want to give the listeners some information, and this comes from an allchristiannews.com. And it talks about 7 ways to identify an uncommitted Christian. One of them is that they are a lover of worldly pleasures, which is one of the things, Tammy, you touched on. Because according to 1 John 2:15-17, the Bible says, do not live in the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Another one is,
they do not attend church services. A Christian who does not attend church services cannot claim to be committed to his or her walk with Christ. Such should be rightfully called a hypocrite because their actions contrast their beliefs. And that's citing Matthew 5, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And even though we talk about it's a place of fellowship, because a lot of individuals say, well, I don't have to go to church in order to love God. And that's true in order to love God. When we talk about your commitment, uncommitted Christians do not read the Bible.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Uncommitted Christians do not read the Bible?
No.
Because
they don't have to be in church to...
to love God. Yeah, I've heard that where people say, I don't have to be in church to love God. I can worship him in my own home, or that don't have nothing to do with my relationship with God.
Yeah.
But I was talking about...
But the Bible says to take out the assembly of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then in Matthew 15:8, it says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I went on Mm-hmm. Uncommitted Christians do not read the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, according to Romans 10:17, and Christians should constantly hear from God through his word in the Bible. Committed Christians constantly read the Bible, hear from God, and increase their faith. Uncommitted Christians overlook the Bible, and they don't pray. Prayer is an avenue through which Christians communicate to God.
Okay.
Uncommitted Christians do not pray and have no connections with God, and prayer is an integral part of the Christian walk that cannot be overemphasized, and they don't partake of the Lord's Supper and an evil way of life, meaning the life of an uncommitted Christian is often secular. They have lousy dress codes, speech, lack integrity, inability to be honest, listen to second round like music. His or her life is marred with sin, which is what was indicated earlier. And James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not. To him it is sin. The uncommitted Christians, therefore, leads a sinful life. But by that same token, this is not to judge individuals, because when you know better, you do better, because part of it is leading people also to Christ and teaching them a different lifestyle. And they do not attend fellowship. Fellowship helps Christians to build each other's faith. When a Christian does not attend them, he or she is definitely uncommitted. Now, we're talking about committed. We're not talking about a heaven or hell, because we don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. We're talking about their level of commitment. Because some individuals' levels are high, some individuals' levels are low, and it goes back to what Pastor Blackwell said in regards to the three forms of commitment, which he indicated was the church, the work of the church, the pastor, God, and because a lot of times we'd be so busy trying to please the pastor, or we'd be so busy trying to be seen in the church, we forget our commitment to God. Pastor, anything you want to say about some of the information I just went over?
Yeah, some of that stuff. And I'm going to say something that's going to probably shock you. Some of that stuff is true, but some of that stuff is far-fetched.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Christian. And at least in our culture. In our culture. And I know it. and because I know how they did it and came up with the evidence, but here's the key to it. An uncommitted Christian ain't gonna do half of the stuff that you said. They just ain't gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
See?
You mean an uncommitted?
Let me say that again. See, you missed it. Let me say it again. An uncommitted Christian ain't gonna do half of that stuff you said. They just ain't gonna do.
Correct. Isn't that true?
Now, a committed Christian will do 80% and will do 80 to 90% of the stuff you did. You talked about. Gonna do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that we're having with Jeanette is keeping getting them to committed, keeping focused.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
The problem, let me give you another issue, and maybe Jeanette, we need to talk about this. Maybe we need to talk about this, but let me give you a prelude to another show. How do you handle getting back when you've been knocked off your bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
the problem that we're having, people who get saved are having it good, and then all of a sudden the winds come in their life,
mm-hmm.
and they're knocked off of their bottom, and their boat is turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got a problem. See
well,
what I'm saying?
That goes
now
back
they
to
got
what
a problem.
That goes back to what you were saying before, is the call. Whenever you commit to anything, you're going to have challenges. Even if you committed to a marriage, you're going to have people trying to break you up. You're going to be dealing with sickness.
Right.
You're going to deal with old age. You're going to deal with a financial issue. You're going to deal with a lot of things, no matter what type of relationship you're in. But when you're talking about your relationship with God and that commitment, we want to believe that God is good, and God is always good, even through those hard times and trouble, because trouble don't last always. So
yeah,
it's going to be a lesson.
This ain't no song.
This
ain't no song.
Good that can come out of it. We don't want to believe that. It challenges
right.
our faith.
But committed.
It really
Christian,
challenges our faith.
But committed, when you say a committed Christian, they go to church, they sing in the choir, they do all kinds of stuff. It doesn't mean that they're committed to God. They're committed to
correct.
The title Christian. Just like
mm-hmm.
some people are committed to their title of being a pastor or being an elder, but they're not committed to God. They're just committed to that title, and they're doing what they think that title means.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
again, that goes back to what I said in regards to the different forms of commitment. And we have to
right.
teach individuals and explain that to them. When you say, I'm committed to the church, that don't mean you just go in there and dislike the people that's in the church, but you just going because you're supposed to go to church. That's your commitment. Or the work of the church. Like you said, I'm committed to serving on the mother's board. I'm committed to being an usher. But by that same token, I'm mean to the people, but I'm just
yeah.
doing my role. Or I'm doing what the pastor told me to do it, and I'm committed to my
okay.
pastor, and no matter what my pastor
right,
say.
Right.
But what about God? God may not be in
but
none of those different scenarios
that's
because
right.
you're
he
doing
not
the work of man, not the work of God.
For some people that say, I'm committed to the church, well, we are the church. So you could just be saying you committed to yourself and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are smart enough to say that. Trust
mm-hmm.
me. You got some people who are smart enough to say that because I am the church. Trust me.
Right.
I know that.
I know
that. I know
that too. That's what
but
I said. I am the church. And I have a relationship with Christ. So wherever I go, I take it with me. I take Christ with me. I take the church with me because I am the church. And that's why I hear some pastors say, my church, my people, nothing and nobody belong to you. It all belongs to God. And that's where you know they're putting their place in God, and the people are putting them on a pedestal, and they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping man. And that's
mm-hmm.
where you get into
I tell you what,
trouble.
I tell you what, and I'm just going to throw this out. There's some trouble rising in the church. He'll show you how quick it is. It may show people.
That's right. That's right.
There'll be something else.
That's
it'll
right.
be them folk.
Yep, that's true. The people be gone.
That's right. But some people think that God ain't going to do nothing to them. They think they've been getting away with it this long. Oh, God ain't going to do nothing because I repent every night. No, you are willfully sinning and living in sin. So guess what? Your day is coming.
And I've learned, but now here's the thing. Here's the thing. What I've learned, we've got to pray for folk like that.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
We've got to pray for them. We can't hold our finger up at them. We've got to pray for them. You know you can't go to them and minister to them, but you can't pray for them.
Correct. That's right. You pray for them because if you try to minister to them, they'll take it the wrong way. They'll think you're trying to come up against them and all kinds of things. And some people have that narcissist attitude, and they'll put everything on you.
Correct.
So
and
you
know what? I
want to
say this too. I found because even being a licensed therapist and working with individuals and hearing some of their stories, because they come to me basically when they're broken and in pain. It's easier to find a person that is an unbeliever and try to help them than a person that is a believer or claim to be a believer that have lost their way. I don't know if it's because they become more defensive or they know because they say, well, you know better. You know, they say to know God and sin is worse than sinning within itself. But if you find someone that is troubled and struggling and you try to help lead them to Christ, I found the challenge to be easier than a person that already claimed they with Christ. What are your comments on that, Blackwell?
Well, part of that is embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being honest. Part of that is embarrassment because the first thing is they got to discover how in the heck did I get here?
Right.
How did I get here? Oh,
ooh,
man.
That's a whole other show, Terry.
How did I get here?
Absolutely.
And then after you start thinking about how did you get here, now what is it going to take for me to get back up? Now hold on. Watch this. This is a great example here. I have been knowing Jeanette half of all of my life. Jeanette, hit and miss in church. I've been in church all my life. Now watch this. In the weakest point of my life, if God so seemed fit for it to have happened, God could have used Jeanette to re-win my soul back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now me, before I would have went to Jeanette, I almost would have went outside and took a rope out and hung myself. You? What you going to tell me about the Lord? Nigga, I know when you didn't care nothing about going to church. How you going to tell me to love Jesus? You can't even quote three scriptures and sing one verse of Jesus keep me near the cross. How you going to tell me to? But here's the point. That's who God designated that time to help you get back on your feet. And a lot of people will say, dang, that's the person God is using to win. But they don't see it in the beginning. They can't see it till they come out. It's just like going into a storm. You don't know how bad it's raining when you go in, but when you get in the middle, you find out, oh, man, it is really pouring down. But when you come out, you look back and say, wow, the storm is behind me, and that's what I left behind. But look, what did he use to get me through it? And that's the case in point with a whole bunch of people. God can use a whole bunch of people to get you through it. But the problem is, he don't send who you want him to send. He sends somebody else.
That's right.
Don't get too excited.
You know what? I got so much going on right now. It's ridiculous. I thought that I was going to be getting out of this bulletin office. And I had already made up in my mind because somebody told me that it seems like I'm bragging when I say I have 5 locations, but it's only because I have to find out which office and which area the person, when they call me, making the appointment for. But I found out that could be a whole lot of other issues that they may have had. So I made it my mind, you know what, let me downsize some of this. But the God and the Lord was like, for the past 2 weeks, every time I answered my phone, they kept saying, I want to go to Fullerton, I want to go to Fullerton. And I'm like, Lord, for real, for real? My property manager called me yesterday and said, Jeanette, we got a smaller building for you. The rent is $500, and you can move in on the 1st of August. So next week, I'm not going to be on the air because I got to get the stuff out of this office and transfer some of it to my other offices and then go over to a smaller office because it makes no sense. But I guess God still wants me in the Fullerton area. As bad as Jeanette saying, I'm tired, but I still got to be committed. So that's my level of commitment to God because
wow.
It is still God's people who's in pain. But Delano, I sure thought I was out of Fullerton. I really did. I called the county. I called probation. I had to notify the state. I'm like, I'm out of Fullerton. Then I had to call them right back and send them an email saying, oh, this is my new address. All I could say was, look at God. God said, not now, not right now, not right now. So, again, I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicament, Love Talk Radio. I won't be on next Tuesday. We will be on the Tuesday after that. And I think Delano will be doing that from Arizona. So,
yep.
Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.